Hello and welcome back to the Turkey Notes podcast. This is your host Trick, and this week I am going to bring you a turkey spotlight. And this one, much like my last episode, is a personal preference podcast. And this is, I'm going to spotlight four artists who I don't feel have ever given us a bad album. And let me explain that. You know, so when I say a bad album, I mean that they have not given us an album that you put on and you just don't want to finish it. Or, you know, every album in their discography, in my opinion, are ones that you could just listen to front to back. They're not all classics, I'll be honest with you. But they're all good. And, you know, so I kind of want to just highlight those four artists. Now, when I started writing this episode, three of the artists were inactive, and one was still producing music. So three that were not producing music and one that was. Well, since I started writing the album, one of those other artists decided that they were just going to release a new album. So, which we'll get to that. But, Now, I do want to kind of get into why I'm doing this a little bit. Is I believe that albums kind of have become a lost art. You know, putting together an album it's not as easy as people think. You could have the greatest group of songs in the world, but if you put them together and they don't work as a statement, then that's not an album. That's just a group of songs. And, you know, and you have some artists that are still putting out like really, really good albums. You know, albums that really kind of shape, you know, for example, like Beyonce's Lemonade recently, or even Bruno Mars' 24K Magic. That was a really good album. You know, but you know, artists are more focused on singles nowadays. They just don't do the album thing as much. And that's disappointing. And so I kind of want to talk about albums. There's something special about sitting down with an album and listening to it front to back. Either it be by CD or cassette that you actually have to flip over, or if you're fancy and have one of those automatic cassette deck flippers, or, you know, with a turntable, you know, and a turntable is even a more compact thing of art, because you actually have sides you have to think about. You know, I think about like Hart's Dog and Butterfly. You know, you have your dog side, you have your butterfly side, and the dog side are your rockers, and the butterfly is your acoustic ballads, you know, or your kind of your ballad, rock ballads, you know. But they're albums, they're statements. And, you know, artists put together their albums as statements. And I think that that's important. And I kind of want to celebrate it a little bit. I want to celebrate a couple of artists that really took the album seriously. So let me lay out some ground rules here. First, I feel that an artist needs to be around for at least 20 years for me to have included them in this list. Because there are some newer artists that every album they've released has been great. But I feel that they should have been around for at least 20 years. Also, they had to have had at least three albums. That's the minimum for me, for them to be included. So, for example, the trio, which was Dolly, Emmylou, and Linda Ronstadt, they wouldn't count because they only had two albums. Don't count the compilation. but also, I want also to kind of more firmly define what I mean by they haven't had a bad album. What I mean by that is there are some albums that are released that you just don't want to listen to. You just don't want to put them back in your CD player or put them back on your turntable. They just don't work. And that's not saying that there aren't good songs on the album. That's not saying that every song on the album isn't good. It just doesn't work as an album. It doesn't work as a cohesive statement. And if you listen to my podcast before, you'll have heard me, you know, when I did my Diva Directory on Dolly. Dolly is a fantastic artist, writes amazing music, but there are some albums in her discography that just don't work. And it's not that the songs are bad. They just don't, gel. It's not an artistic statement. That's what, I guess what I'm trying to get at, you know? I mean, Madonna is another person that I'm very much love, but there's a couple albums in her discography that I just don't revisit very often because I just don't enjoy them like I do her other stuff. Even Prince, who is one of my musical heroes, has a couple albums in his discography that I just don't listen to. But here's the funny thing on that. Some of those albums that I don't listen to in Prince, I love every song on that album. It just doesn't work as an album. And that may seem confusing, but, you know, if the songs don't flow together, the songs don't gel as a project, doesn't matter how great the songs are. If they're not ordered correctly or they don't kind of fit together, then it's just not a good listening experience, you know? But you can still love the songs, you know? And, you know, pretty much, you know, like I could have every song from the Prince album in my shuffle playlist for songs, but I wouldn't listen to the album front to back. So that's what I'm meaning by doesn't put out a bad album. So, and these artists that I'm going to talk about, I'm not saying every album got better as they went along. I'm just saying that every album is good. Every album is listenable. I could put any one of their albums on, play the CD or put the record on the turntable or even the cassette, because some of these I listened to on cassette back in the day. And they're good. You just listen to them front to back. You don't really want to skip anything because it works as a project. You know, and some albums in their discographies may be a little rougher than others or a little confusing, as I'll get to in one, but everyone is good. And I feel that these artists should be complimented for that. And let's start off with the first one I want to talk about. The first artist who I do not feel has ever given us a bad album is Anita Baker. Now, Anita Baker's discography is rather thin for someone who started in 1983 with her first album. She has only released 6 studio albums and 1 Christmas album, so a total of 7. That does not include a live album that was released by her record label that she really didn't have anything to do with. They just kind of released it. But every single one of her albums is good. You know, I could listen to every single one of her Christmas album is, if you're listening back to my Christmas roundup, Christmas music is kind of iffy for me. And hers is very jazzy. It's very bluesy, so it's good. But every single one of her albums is a cohesive statement and an experience. Now, I do feel her second and third albums are her best. Those are the ones I revisit the most. In fact, her second album was on the Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Albums of All Time list. But her third album had her number one, you know, her number one singles. So, you know, every album that Anita Baker has put out has been really good. You know, And I really feel that more people should talk about Anita Baker. And I think I'm going to do a deep dive of her, so I'm not going to go too much into it. I think I'm going to do a Diva directory on Anita. But I just kind of wanted to give her a shout out. If you're looking for a good artist to just put on, and all her albums are good, Anita Baker is definitely the first one that I would tell you to, give a listen. Now, one thing I mentioned when I was talking about Anita Baker, I'm not counting live albums. I'm talking studio albums. Also not really going to go into their greatest hits compilations, because some of these have more compilations than they do albums almost. But I will shout out Anita Baker's live album. It's good. It's obvious. It was released in 2004 or 2005, but it was all from her Rapture tour back in 1986, when she was touring for her second album. It's good. She does a really good cover of Moondance. It's nice. Her greatest hits album, though, there's nothing really special about it. There's not really any bonus tracks, which is kind of sad that it didn't have anything, but it really was done after she really retired. She's dropped a couple singles here or there, but she hasn't released a new album since 2004, when she released My Everything, which was her last. So, but between 83 and 2004, those albums all are excellent. And there's just something special about Anita Baker and how she performs, how she sings. There's really no one like Anita Baker. And like I said, I'm going to do a Diva directory on her down the road. So, but yeah, every one of her albums, fantastic. Now, the second one I'm going to talk about is one that I've already talked about on the podcast. I did a whole episode on one of their albums for Albums That Made Trick. And when I was writing the episode, the only one that was still making new music, and that's Garbage. Garbage, if you're not familiar with the band, they are... their first album came out in like 1995. They're kind of alternative electronic, kind of a mixture. But their sound is just really solid. And a lot of that is because, number one, you have Shirley Manson as the lead singer, which she's just a beast. She is just absolutely amazing. But the other three members were all producers prior to forming Garbage, and that includes Duke Erickson, Steve Marker, and Butch Vig. They all had success doing different producing for different artists. Butch Vig probably had the biggest success with producing, albums like Nevermind by Nirvana. Duke Erickson and Steve Marker also did a lot of great remix work and all that kind of stuff. So, the band just is fantastic. But to me, they have never put out a bad album. Now, I feel their second album, just like is their best, kind of like Anita Baker. Her second album second and third album for Anita, but they have definitely really made some great music since. It's just their stuff just went in different directions. Now they've had 7 studio albums since 1995. They took a big break from their fourth and fifth album, and then after that they put one out every 4 or 5 years. So they don't put out as many as they used to, but they definitely still are putting out most recently this year with their album No Gods No Masters, which I've been working on a review for a while, but it's a great album, but it takes me a while to put together reviews nowadays because there's so much I want to say sometimes. But to me, every album that Garbage has put out has been great. Just front to back. There's just different feelings for each album. Everyone has a different personality. So, but every album sounds like garbage, which is a really awesome thing. And like I said, Anita, one day I'm going to do a diva directory on Garbage, because I do consider Shirley Manson a diva, so it counts. So I'll go more deep onto those, and at that time. But I do feel like every album Garbage has had has been good, and they're all worth a listen. They have done one greatest hits album called Absolute Garbage. That one, pulls together all their, all their singles, and which is good. It's to me, their singles just don't, their singles are great. And they're all good to have back to back, but a lot of them though is really good to have in context of the album. And, while the greatest hits also had some of their soundtrack tracks, which was good, it's still prefer to have them on the albums now. So that's kind of the deal there, but, best album, definitely their second, but everyone is worth a listen. Even the one that came out this year, the one this year is probably their most political they've ever released. Which is great. But yeah, their Garbage is definitely one that I would say every album is good. And even so, this next one's going to get a little bit complicated to talk about, but want to stress every album that I feel they've released has been good. And why I'd say that this one gets a little complicated is, depending on the country you are, depends on what kind of album you got or when you bought the album, what kind of album you got, or what period of the artist that you fall into, that what kind of album you got. So, so the artist is Everything But The Girl, which, once again, I'm going to do a diva directory at some point on them, but I do feel that they're worth talking about more. They're probably the artists that I love the most that I feel never really got a fair shake. Their music is great, but it's also all over the place. and by all over the place, you have them starting on their first album of being kind of almost like a coffee house lounge sound, very chill, very laid back, very, nice. And then you get to their last album, which is basically dance music, like electronic dance music, like, like early 2000s dance music, not EDM, but actually like just straight up dance. And the evolution that they took over the years and the different paths that they took over the years is fascinating. And they were good at everything that they did. I feel that every album of theirs is good, and every album of theirs has a different feel and a different statement. And, unlike the other artists that, you know, I talked about, I mean, my favorite album of theirs is their ninth album, which is Amplified Heart, which was basically an acoustic album, but it also spawned their biggest hit, which was a remix version of one of the songs of that album called Missing, that the remix version went top 10 across the world. It was their biggest hit. You know, but it's just good stuff. Tracy Thorn has this really wonderful voice and a really wonderful way of bringing out the emotion of what she sings. And, you know, Ben Watt, her partner in the band and also her husband and life partner, they both bring different stuff to the table. Ben doesn't have as strong a voice, but it's a good voice. They both write great music. Tracy still sings nowadays, but they don't sing as Everything But the Girl. And Ben now basically produces most of the time. Every now and then releasing a little ditty of his own, but they just don't perform together as Everything But the Girl anymore. But they're still married as far as last I heard. but yeah, their discography is just so all over the place and so thing. But that's one of the things I love about it. It's, you know, it's just, I love artists that like to play with music and do stuff. And to me, you're successful in everything that in all the different albums they did. They've written great songs. They've done amazing covers. Their cover of, you know, Time After Time and is really, really excellent. Their cover of Allison, their cover of Downtown Train was phenomenal. Just a lot of really, really good stuff. And I love every one of their albums. Now, their compilations, though, where I mentioned the other ones, their compilations get a little wonky because their discography is all over the place. And because their discography is all over the place, their compilations can be fascinating to listen to. I remember one of their compilations I have is like The Desert Mist of Rain, and you have their first hit ever, Each and Every One, which is like a bossa nova, and then it goes to to Missing, and then it goes to Mine, which is a slow song, and then it goes to Protection, which was done with Massive Attack, and then it goes to Tracy in My Room, and it's all over the place, and it's fun, but that's not as listenable to as their albums. Their remix album Adapt or Die, that's pretty amazing as a listen, but that's not an album, that's a remix album, and I'm kind of a sucker for remixes. But Everything But the Girl, great, great albums. I will do a diva directory on them at some point. I obviously have bigger divas to get to before I hit her, since no one seems to have even heard of them most of the time. But yeah, all their albums are good, and I encourage you to give them a shot. I would start with Amplified Heart. I think that's their best. Walking Wounded, Language of Life, those are probably the top three for me. But all of them are good. You just have to be in different moods to for each one. That makes any sense. I know. I'm not really selling them very well right now, am I? But I do love them. I do think that they have an amazing discography, and I think that they're definitely worth listening to. Now, I mentioned at the start of the podcast that when I started writing this, three of the four artists I was going to highlight were inactive. And surprise, surprise, this last one decided that they're going to release an album next month. So after almost 40 years of not releasing music, it's amazing. And if you didn't know, I'm going to talk about ABBA. I've already mentioned ABBA. I've featured them once before in a spotlight as a supergroup that actually worked, because they were a Swedish supergroup. Everyone was successful in their own right before they came together and formed ABBA. And you know, so they broke up, but never really broke up in 1982. They've all had success in different forms across, you know, since then. Benny and Bjorn wrote musicals, including Chess, which was huge success. Frida had a couple hits in the U.S. The most notable of their, you know, I Know There's Something Going On, which was produced by Phil Collins. Agneta, she, you know, had some minor hits in the U.S., but she had much more success elsewhere. You know, one of the actually the more popular expensive pieces of my collection is actually a 12-inch of hers for a song called The Heat Is On, which is kind of random. But as the whole point of this is artists where I think have not had a bad album. I can't speak about their next album because I've not heard it yet. I've heard the singles that they've released so far. One I really like. The other I'm not 100% sold on, to be fair. But once I hear them in the context of the album, I'll probably, you know, could change my mind a little bit. But to me, ABBA hadn't had a bad album in their discography. Now, their first one's kind of weak, but it's good. They were still kind of feeling their way. So Ring Ring is kind of, it's a good album, but it's not as good as all the rest, but still a good album. You know, their second album, Waterloo, their third album, ABBA, you know, The Visitors, you know, all the way up, all of them are good. You know, even to the, you know, the Visitors, their last one. Personally, if I had to name my favorite of their albums, the one that worked the best, I would probably say it would be ABBA the Album or Super Trooper. No, I'd go with ABBA the Album. And the, you know, just, but that's the thing. Both ABBA the Album, Super Trooper, and Voulez-Vous, those three albums are like albums I love putting on all the time. They're just really, really good. But every one of their albums is good. And I used to joke that if you were in a bad mood, you play ABBA's discography backwards. And when you play the discography backwards, by the time you get to the end, well, by the time you get to the beginning, you're in a good mood. Because they were kind of happier in the beginning than they were at the end. Because by the time they broke up, I mean, they were two couples that had gotten together. By the time they got to their last album, both couples had broken up and moved on and with new relationships. So they were just kind of still working together. It was, you know, it was almost a Fleetwood Mac situation, but not as explosive. So, you know, and it just got to the point where they just weren't working anymore. They just had, you know, they weren't having fun anymore is what I heard them say. And they just moved on. And, you know, and I think, you know, a big part of them kind of getting back to, you know, kind of getting back together and doing stuff was kind of the resurgence of people actually, you know, paying attention to their music and actually giving them respect. Because let's be honest, ABBA in the States, at least, was never really treated seriously. They were kind of, you know, they were one of those foreign pop groups. They were kind of lumped in with disco, even though they really weren't really disco. They had a couple disco singles, but that wasn't them. They were pop. And, you know, they just never really got the respect they were due until the 90s. And in the 90s, you had a series of movies, you know, like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert and Muriel's Wedding and everybody that just kind of brought them back into the forefront. And, you know, people started paying attention to, but once again, I digress, and I'll do a diva directory of that at some point, because there's two divas in that one. But regardless, this is definitely a group that took their craft very seriously, and they were very meticulous in the music they did. They were perfectionists. So every song, the vocals, the harmonies, they were impeccably done. The music was impeccably done. They were very, very good at their craft. And sometimes when you're really good at your craft, you don't get the respect that you're due until later, and people realize, hey, stuff they did was kind of hard, because some of the harmonies that they did, those are some killer harmonies. But like I said, all their albums are good. All their, you know, studio albums, they're solid. Now, there was a live album release for ABBA, but it really was kind of after they'd broken up. Just kind of thrown together of different live performances that the record label had. I don't count that. It's an okay listen. It's nothing groundbreaking. Their studio stuff is fantastic. You know, some of the live concerts footage that I've seen, that's fantastic, but the recording it kind of, you know, live, I really don't think they knew how to record live back then, but it's okay. Compilation wise, oh my gosh, there are so many. But I will say, the compilations that were released by ABBA in the 70s and early 80s, I would encourage those to be checked out, because ABBA is one of those that would put additional stuff on their compilations. So their first greatest hits album, they released around 75, and it included the single Waterloo, which not Waterloo, Lord, they had an album named Waterloo. It included the single Fernando, which wasn't on any album. And, you know, that compilation put together, they actually put together a compilation that made cohesive sense. And they did that basically because they were starting to get some international attention, and they wanted to kind of reintroduce themselves to the world by putting together this compilation. The actual like LP version is a gatefold, and it's got really great artwork. I really like it. And you know, and it's just it's a really good compilation that they put together of their own material. And the same actually goes with their Greatest Hits Volume 2, which also had a brand new song they recorded for the compilation, which was Gimme Gimme Gimme, A Man After Midnight, which is one of their classics. But also had a couple other non-LP singles like Summer Night City, for example. And that wasn't available anywhere else. So, you know, this is another compilation I'm doing. And even their last compilation, which was called ABBA, the singles, the first 10 years, and the last 10 years, to be honest, which they released while they were working on their last project that they ended up not finishing. You know, that one had two extra songs on it that are really, really great songs. And you know, it was Under Attack and The Day Before You Came. You know, Under Attack made it into the Mamma Mia musical. But it's, so those compilations, this is one of the ones I would definitely say the compilations are good. If you didn't want to go into the albums, getting the compilations is, you're going to get artist assembled compilations that make sense, that flow. You know, so those are worthwhile to me. The other compilation I would say is probably their box set, which was released kind of, you know, like 93, because there are a lot of rarities on it, but that's not essential. That's just me being an ABBA fan. And you know, just, but yeah, ABBA, their albums are all really good. I think that their best albums are, you know, the span between ABBA the album and Super Trooper, ABBA the album, Voulez-Vous, and Super Trooper. I think those are the best. But they're all good. You know, I think they're definitely worth, and one of these times I'm going to kind of do a kind of a deeper dig on them, but everybody's done a deep dig on ABBA at this point. There's not really many rarities, but I'll come back and revisit once their new album comes out next month. Their first album in 39 years. Well, actually no, 40, because The Visitors came out in 81. But it has been 39 years since they broke up and we had the new music on the singles compilation, which had the additional tracks, Day Before You Came and Under Attack. Now, it's not the first new music we've heard from ABBA. It's just first new music they've recorded in Lane. Because we did have, on the 1993 compilation, More ABBA Gold, they had a song they had finished for their the album, their supposed next album before they decided not to release it, a song called I Am the City. And then we also got some unreleased stuff on their box set, Thank You for the Music. Oh, and I almost forgot. They also recorded in 1979 their greatest hits in Spanish. And those are really good to check out too. It's an album called Gracias por la Música. And they also released those in a compilation called ABBA Oro, which is Spanish gold, Spanish for gold. So it's the ABBA gold album, but the Spanish versions. Because they recorded their 10 hits in 1979, like kind of going back. So they did, you know, Gimme 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 in Spanish. They did Chiquitita in Spanish. They did, you know, Dancing Queen in Spanish, and, you know, some of their biggest hits. And then they also, after that was released, they did record some Spanish versions of their singles as they went along. So, there's multiple Spanish versions on the ABBA Oro compilation if you want to check that out. Here I've gotten to rambling, and well, I mean, and I'll do that. The all four of these artists, I have a deep love and deep appreciation for, so I can kind of get off on a little bit of a tangent. But regardless, these artists, to me, do not have a dud in their discography. All their albums are good. All their albums are listenable. You know, I have my favorites, but they're all good. And I would listen to any one of their albums. In fact, I still do. You know, I have all ABBA's albums on CD and vinyl. I've got Anita's albums, her early ones I have on vinyl and CD. And, you know, she didn't, her later ones didn't, you know. Everything But the Girl, I don't, you know, I'd have most of their stuff on CD, but I have some of their stuff on vinyl too, you know. There's, it's something special, you know. You know, Garbage was more of the CD era, but I did get a special edition of the vinyl version of their last two albums, which is awesome. But, you know, like I said in the beginning, albums are a lost art, and I want to celebrate the album again. I, you know, there's something special about when an album can just be put on and just relax, you know. You know, and singles are a great thing, but you know, people can put together a great single, but not everybody's put together a great album, and that's just how it is, you know. So anyway, so I hope you enjoyed my rambling. Hope you enjoyed the list of artists I don't think have put out a bad album. Feel free to disagree with me. And I know there may be more that you may be thinking of, you know, and when I do some diving on a couple of artists, like, cause I think my next diva directory is going to be on Madonna. Cause I can, you know, she's my diva. I can talk endlessly about her. There's two albums in her discography I tend to skip. I just don't think they work, but they might have good songs on them. It's just, there's not for me, and that's fine. You know, that happens. So, but I just love being able to kick back with a good album. And I get excited when an artist releases an album that is just great to listen to. And it's fun to listen to, you know? And you know, that's why I have my series where I do, you know, talk about albums that made Trick. They're, you know, I like listening to albums. So anyway, so feel free to send me a comment. You can use, you know, link in the show notes to reach out to me. You can contact the show Twitter, the show Facebook. Twitter, it's Tricky_notes. Look up Tricky Notes Podcast on Facebook. I think I have an Instagram. I need to check on that again. Also leave a 5-star review. 5-star reviews I will read on the podcast. Just keep listening to good music, and as always, this is Trick. I'm going to sign out, and much love.